You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. Time to take a little break from the music and dig into the music, learn more about the music of Christmas. We're talking particularly about Christmas hymns. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And in studio with us today, Matt Gerhard, Music Ministry Assistant at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, De Pere, Missouri. Matt, what a joy to have you in studio and excited to dig into some hymns with you.
Thank you for the invitation.
We are looking at Lutheran Service Book 373, 374, and 375 today. See Amid the Winter Snow is 373. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the text of this hymn or the history of this hymn.
Sure. So this hymn, the text was first published in 1851. I love looking at this text and seeing the contrasts that are highlighted in this. So you see amid the winter snow, born for us on earth below, see the gentle Lamb appears, promised from eternal years, and hail, O ever-blessed morn. There's a sudden change when you get to the refrain each time, and it's a wonderful contrast. Then you also take a look at, lo, within a stable lies he who built the starry skies. He who throned in height sublime sits amid the cherubim. It's such a wonderful picture of the incarnation, this lowly child, which is Christ the Lord, who has come to us.
Mm-hmm. I had never thought about that before, so now I've been enlightened.
Well, that's the point.
I know. I know, I've learned something.
But, yay!
But when you read through that text, that makes a lot of sense. And I've waffled back and forth whether I like hymns that have refrains or not, because you get to sing the same words every stanza, which is cool, I think. But I like this one because of what you said about how it's this this joyous like exclamation when you get to the refrain.
Absolutely. As I'm teaching children in school, I say pay attention to the punctuation too when we're talking about hymns. And notice there are not one, not two, but three exclamation points in this refrain. This is important.
That's true. Yeah, paying attention to punctuation is it makes it a much different experience when you're reading through a hymn and you actually pay attention to where the punctuation marks are. Things make a lot more sense when you follow where the commas and periods are.
Punctuation matters.
It really does. tell us a little bit about the tune for this one.
Sure. So this tune was composed by John Goss, who was the organist of St. Paul's Cathedral. He had been a chorister, of course, like many English choir masters were. But this tune was composed for this text. So I love knowing that when we sing the text. So you see the first half where the verses are, where we're talking about the lowly child. It's the tune conveys that very well. And then you get to the refrain, and the music changes. It has a completely different affect, and you hail the ever-blessed morn. Mm-hmm. It's really wonderful.
Anything else about 373 before we go on to 374, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child?
Mm-mm.
All right, let's take a look. 374, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child. A little bit on the background of the text on this hymn.
Sure. So this was written by Joseph Simpson Cook, who was a minister in the Methodist Church and the United Church of Canada. He eventually transferred. He had originally been born in England, but studied in Canada and worked in Canada. And so this hymn was apparently written for a carol competition, which I didn't realize until I did the research on this. But that's very interesting. And so as you go through the text, it sort of has a different structure than the previous hymn, but it still tells the story. So the first stanza is a question. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. Can he be the Savior? And the end of the first stanza tells the singer to ask the saved of all the race who have found his favor. So who is this child? And stanza two tells us all of the things that happened in the scriptures. The angels sang about his birth. The wise men sought and found him. The star shone brightly forth. Shepherds saw the wondrous sight. They heard the angels singing. All the plains were lit up and the hills were ringing. And so then there's a lovely parallel into the third stanza where Gentle Mary laid her child. We hear that again. But this time he is still the undefiled and no more a stranger.
That's cool how it brings you full circle.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a neat thing to realize when you sing a lot of these Christmas hymns. Because we're singing Christmas hymns, we're singing about one event
right.
in all, 36 hymns that we have. And each one takes a little bit of a different perspective. So understanding and realizing those little nuggets of things. Like this one, you know, it brings you all the way around back to the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about this tune? This tune, this text isn't as familiar to me, but this tune is familiar.
Yes, absolutely. So this text is relatively modern. It was written in this in the past century. But the tune is a little bit more familiar as Good King Wenceslaus from John Mason Neal. So, and I think that the text in its original form did not fit this tune very well. It had to be shifted around a little bit, and a little bit was added to add to this familiar tune, which makes it much more singable, I think, in the end.
So we all know the tune to Good King Wenceslaus.
Probably,
yes. On the Feast of Stephen.
Yes.
Do we all know when the Feast of Stephen is?
26.
December the 26th,
absolutely.
Yes. All right. shall we move on to Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising?
Certainly.
375 in Lutheran Service Book. Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising. Tell us a little bit about the history of this hymn.
Absolutely. So this was written by Paul Gerhardt. As many of us know, the theologian tested in Satan's sieve. I was doing a little research on this hymn and found that he wrote this after he'd been removed from his church in Berlin and after four of his children had died. And yet, the joy that this hymn conveys is astounding. I also have to say, originally the hymn was 8 stanzas. We only have 6 in Lutheran Service Book. But with 8 stanzas, that's the shortest of the hymns that he's written.
And yet, with Gerhardt, it's almost like you can never have enough stanzas, really.
Absolutely. They build on each other, and they all are so wonderful. So this hymn begins, and it's compelling Christians to raise their hearts and voices in praise of the Incarnation. It's so wonderful, but it isn't until the second stanza that we get to why. Because Christ saved us from the wily foe. It's really, really wonderful to go through all of this. In our need, he extends his help and saves us from the foe. It's wonderful. And then we get to stanza 4. From the bondage that oppressed us, from sin's fetters that possessed us, from the grief that sore distressed us, we the captives now are free. And then, I won't read every stanza, but I could because they're all wonderful. But then we get one of the best stanzas is the final stanza, stanza 6. And it's such a wonderful and beautiful prayer. Gracious child, we pray, O hear us. From your lowly manger cheer us. Gently lead us and be near us till we join your choir above.
Mm-hmm. And I've sung this hymn since I was a child, but I just this week realized it was a Paul Gerhardt hymn, which made me love it even more. But the hymns like this, it's useful to just read through them, especially if it's one that we've sung a lot and we, you know, kind of get used to the words. But reading this text, it brings out all of those really great stanzas.
Absolutely, yes. And I love how this hymn goes beyond retelling the Incarnation and brings it to us and brings the theology right to us, and it's really wonderful in that way.
Yeah. All right. What about this tune, Quem Pastoris? One of my favorites.
So this is a popular 14th century carol.
Yeah.
The original is He Whom Shepherds Once Came Praising, and this text has been set to it. Again, it's one of those uses of a popular tune, so to speak, a one that's better known to be able to bring the other hymn to us in a more familiar way.
When would you, do you have a particular service that you would schedule this hymn for?
Well, that's a good question. It's officially appointed for use as the Hymn of the Day at Christmas Dawn. I don't know how many of us have Christmas Dawn services. I wager not many. but I think that this hymn can be used in many other places because it is not tied to, say, a Christmas Eve image or a Christmas morning image. I think it can be used throughout the entire season very effectively and to bring the glory of the Incarnation to us.
Matt Gerhardt, Music Ministry Assistant, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. Thank you so much for digging into these hymns and giving us some great history and of the text and the tunes as well. This is fantastic. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Well, back to the music for the 12 days of Christmas. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.